All right. Good evening. We'll go ahead and get started. So thank you guys for coming in. Zach, could you get the doors, please? I'm sure John will. He's probably just busy. Obviously, the kids are already next door playing, and it's glow night, so the lights are off, so that's probably why they're even a little bit more screamy tonight. But we're excited to be here tonight, so we're going to look at a few announcements to get started. And as we do that, just share some upcoming events. One big thing I want to make sure you know about is prayer breakfast is this Saturday, 8 a.m., for all the guys. Welcome to come out, 8 a.m., guys of all ages. And so if you want to bring your sons or grandsons, that's totally fine. Guys get here about 7:15, I think, to start cooking, 7. So if you'd like to come help prepare the food, you don't need to bring food. It's already going to be here to be cooked. But if you'd like to come and just help cook or get things ready, you're welcome to come a little early to do that. But we'd love to have you here at 8. Usually we finish up about 9:15. So again, you're welcome to come on out to that. Looking forward to a great time together with men in the Lord. Also want to let you know, ladies, you have your spring Bible study coming up. In the bulletin, there'll be an insert about this on Sunday. That's going to start up March 11th or March 13th, depending on if you're in the morning or evening session. And again, there will be a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. I think it might already be there. So if you'd like to find out more about that, go check out the Welcome Center. It's a study by Kelly Matt. Guys, we will be doing a spring Bible study, and we'll be getting you some more information about that here soon. Obviously, I want to make sure you're still aware, Football Sunday is coming up two Sundays, February 9th. I really want to encourage you, invite people out to this. It's a great thing to invite someone to come be a part of. Again, we're going to have a lot of fun in the morning. We're going to get to hear from Jake Bates, who is kind of become pretty well known, the kicker for the Lions, and just his faith and how God has moved in his life and how God is using him in the platform that he finds himself in. So we're going to hear from him again Sunday on Football Sunday, so you don't want to miss out on that. Right after the service, we have our potluck luncheon. I really want to encourage you, if you can bring a dish to pass, please sign up to bring one. Again, as our church has grown, and what a praise that it's grown, potlucks get a little trickier. We need a little more food. So please consider bringing a dish to pass and go check out the sign-up sheet if you'd like to do that. Again, there's just kind of groups of food you can bring, a main dish, salads, desserts, all kinds of options there. So please make sure you sign up if you can. Hallelujah Quilters Craft Retreat is coming up really soon, February 14th and 15th. That's a Friday and a Saturday. Again, the information's in the bulletin. You can sign up at the Welcome Center. Want to make sure you guys know, too, about Forever Young Potluck coming up the 23rd of February. And then also the month of February starts our food drive. And so all month, you've already seen the table out here in the lobby by the military wall. All month, we collect non-perishable food items. And then all of that's donated to a local church pantry right here in Emily City at the end of the month. And so we would love to see that table filled with all different kinds of food items. And so the whole month, you can bring it up on a Sunday, Wednesday, during the week, whatever works for you. Maybe you'd prayerfully consider checking out your pantry. Maybe there's some items that you'd like to donate. Maybe you'd like to go to Kroger, do a 10 for 10, and just get a handful of things that you'd like to donate. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, we'd love to encourage you to be the church this month by putting that love of Christ into action and helping those in need. Also, I want to let you know, some of you may have already noticed over here by the Welcome Center, there's a table set up, stuff that I find after church ends. And I'm like, somebody left without socks, a coat, one glove, glasses. So I don't know if they're reading tonight or tomorrow. But there are various things over there. Some of that stuff's been from the last year. Some of the coats have shown up in the last couple of months. There's some sweaters over there. Some of that stuff may be from the homeschool co-op that uses our building on Fridays, every other Friday. So that may be the case. But if you would do me the favor, if you think maybe your child or children or you yourself may have left something. Last Wednesday, there was a really nice black glove, one black glove that was found in the hallway down here. That's on the table over there. So if you think something of yours might be over there, go check it out. Give it a once over. I think there's like 6 tumblers over there, two of which I found with coffee in them. No idea how old they are, but we tried to wash them as best we could. But go check that out at the table. And if it is something that's yours, please grab it. We'll let that be up for a couple of weeks. And then after a couple of weeks, anything that's not claimed, we just bag it all up and donate it and just give it away. So if you would like to check that out, we encourage you to do so. Also, and this may not apply to anyone here, we don't really know, at least I couldn't find anybody that knew, a couple months ago, like two trash bags of clothes. One looks like a bag of jeans. I don't know what's in the other bag. And a little bag of maybe purses were left behind the Welcome Center. I don't know who left them there. I'm not sure why they were left there, what the intention was of who they're for. So if you left some clothes there and there's a reason for that, maybe you mentioned it to someone and they just never picked them up, let me know. We'd love to make sure we get those to where they got to go. Those are actually at the table as well up underneath. And again, if they don't get picked up in a couple of weeks, they'll just get donated to somebody that can use them. And maybe that was the intention, but we just wanted to put that out there. All right. So that's really all the announcements that we have. Any questions, comments, or thoughts about any of the upcoming events, activities, announcements? Just a reminder, Nerf Night is coming up real soon here as well. I believe that's the 12th. I'm going to double check that. Yes, February 12th is the Word of Life Nerf Night. It's just a theme night where we try to really have the kids invite as many family friends as possible to come and be a part of that. So if you have children or grandchildren in Word of Life, don't forget about Nerf Night. That's coming up February 12th. It's a big night for them. They have a lot of fun with that. All right? Anything else? I'm sorry. Lost and found. If it fits, it's yours. I mean, at this point, some of that stuff's been there for a long time. I don't think you could fit the coats, though. I think the coats are a little small. But yeah, if you find a nice little bracelet that fits, sure, have at it. There's some hairpins out there, some bows. I don't know if that would help Jeff too much, but there's other options out there too, or Rick. I mean, yeah. So, William, wow, okay, all right. We're going to move on. Getting a little depressed. He can grow a good beard. I do want to share just a couple announcements real quick. If you weren't with us for our business meeting on Sunday night, we were able to share a lot of great things the Lord has been doing and has done in our church in the last year. But we're super excited about something that we're starting this year. And I'm going to share two things with you. And that way you can kind of all be praising the Lord together if you weren't with us on Sunday night. If you were, you already know this. But many of you know that our desire is to continually be a church that's missions minded. We always want to be thinking about missions. And so, two things we were able to do this year starting in February that we're super excited about is number one, all of our current missionaries, we have 10 that we've been supporting. All of our current missionaries, we give $100 a month to them for general support just every month. We started doing that in 2017. Before that, it was like 50. And the year before that, it was like $30 a month. And when I came out as pastor, I thought, I don't know how many churches I would have to go to if I needed to live on the number of churches that supported me at $30 a month. That's a lot of churches. So what can we do? So in 2017, we upped it to $100 a month. And this year, we're upping it to $150 a month. So starting in February, all of our missionaries are going to go from 100 to 150 a month, which we're super excited about. And then another thing we're really excited about is we're bringing on an 11th missionary. And really, it's not so much a missionary as it is a community support. The Pregnancy Center of Lapeer that we've partnered with for many years, we're bringing them on as monthly support. And so we're going to support them every single month on top of baby bottle drive and helping with their fall banquet and all that stuff. So starting in February, we're going to bring them on. Now, we did actually have them as monthly support back before 2009. But you guys remember 2008-09, there was that recession and the church finances got a little tight. So we had to reduce some support. And so we're so thankful that we can bring them back on for support. So we're praising the Lord for that. Your generosity, your support has made all of that possible where we're able to take the funds that God has blessed us with and continually be focused on global and local outreach. That's really our goal. We want to make sure we're not just keeping it in here necessarily like Pregnancy Center of Lapeer. So thank you for your support. Thank you for generosity. You make this possible as the Lord lays on your heart to give. Your generosity is amazing. And so let's open in prayer. And if you would, let's praise the Lord together for what he's doing. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, your love, your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the wonder of how you use us to make an impact for the cause of Christ. Lord, I'm so thankful that we get to be a part of a church that's so missions-minded, that we're not just focused on what's best for us and building a name for ourselves or building this church up in the sense of the physical, but we're so desiring to see you use us to reach out into our community, to reach out across the world through missions, to help support those that are translating the word of God for the first time maybe into a language, those that are ministering with young women or women that find themselves in a situation of trying to decide between choosing abortion or choosing life. And we get to support that ministry that comes alongside it, encourages through education, prayer, love, and just imparting wisdom to them that they can choose life, that there's other options out there. And so, Lord, thank you that you use our church that way. I pray, Lord, that as we go through tonight, Lord, that you would be glorified in all that's said and done. We thank you for just your amazing grace, your love, and your mercy. And Father, we thank you for all of the children that are here tonight, Lord, in the various ministries. Thank you for our leaders, our volunteers, our small group leaders, those that invest week in and week out to disciple and encourage these young people in the word of God. And so, Lord, we thank you for the hours that are put in that maybe nobody really sees, the hours of prayer that go on behind the scenes where people can't physically serve in Word of Life or in the teen group or whatever it might be, but they're diligently praying and they're asking you to move in and through our midst. And so, Lord, pray that we would know that is an amazing way to make an impact. We may not be able to physically do what we used to do, but Lord, if we can pray, if we can seek your face, then we're doing the most we can do. And Lord, again, we thank you for all that you have done this last year. We thank you for what lies ahead. We're so excited to believe that the best is yet to come. Lord, I truly believe that as we continue to set our eyes on you and desire to be the church you've called us to be, that we could see you use this place to shake this community, to transform lives, not because of us, but because of you working through us. You said you'll build your church, and you are building your church, and I pray that we would continue to trust and believe that you are using us to get that done. Lord, help us to be surrendered. Help us to be open to you tonight and all that we need. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Exodus chapter 20. We are on our fifth commandment. And so as you go to Exodus 20, we're going to look at a simple commandment as far as it's not really hard to understand. And we're going to start getting into some that are pretty straightforward. And we want to make sure, again, that we remember Christ has fulfilled the law. We are not studying the Ten Commandments so that we know what we need to do to be saved. We're studying the Ten Commandments so that we know that as a follower of Christ, the moral law of God is what I'm striving to uphold in my life. I want to please the Lord. And in so doing, I want to make sure that I honor him in these ways. Again, we are not looking at the law and saying, man, if I could do these 10, I'm good and I'll keep my salvation. If keeping the law is impossible to be saved, I cannot keep the law to keep my salvation. He holds on to me. And so we've looked at, again, the first four commandments. And again, without turning around, what's the first commandment? You guys can just tell me. What's the first commandment? What's that? Okay. Love the Lord with all your heart. What's another way of saying that? No other gods before me, right? God has number one, sets up the other nine. These other nine show that God is first in my life. That's the outpouring of that. And remember from Exodus 20, God gives the people of Israel a baseline, a reason for why they should keep him as number one, why he is the true and living God. He says, because he's the one that brought them out of bondage. He's the one that led them out of the captivity and brought them to the promised land and so on and so forth. So he's saying, I've been good to you. I've shown my goodness. I've shown my mercy, right? I'm the God of creation. I'm the authority. I'm King of kings, Lord of lords. So therefore, it's logical. It makes sense that I would be number one. And remember, God is jealous for that position. We hear jealousy, we think a negative emotion. God is the only one that can actually be jealous for our time and rightly deserves all of our time, right? I don't rightly deserve all of my wife's time. I'm not worthy of that. But God is worthy of all that we can give and so much more. So the first one is, have no other gods. What's the second commandment? Yeah, do not make a graven image, okay? We talked about how that's been interpreted. Some believe it's no depictions of Jesus, God, angels in paintings, in movies, any of that. None of that's allowed. There's even many Christians today that hold to that view that they won't watch a movie if it's depicting Jesus. If an actor is playing Jesus, they won't watch it because they believe that's a violation of the second commandment and they don't want to do that. Others believe that it's specifically for the act of idol worship. That if I create something with the intention of worshiping it, that's where now the sin enters in. I can have a picture of Jesus on my wall. If I'm not worshiping the image, the picture, I'm actually worshiping Christ. Again, so there's some difference of opinion on that, and some people see it differently. But remember, again, for the Israelites, it was directly involving literal idol worship. It was actual idol worship that they were to avoid. But also remember, it's not just graven images as of God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. What else does he say not to make a graven image of? Yeah, anything on the earth, above the earth, beneath the earth, that we worship these things, these beasts and these kinds of things. So again, if you have a picture of a deer on your wall, some could argue that's a violation of this commandment because you made a graven image. Unless you say, but I'm not worshiping it. And if that's the point of this commandment, then again, I don't believe you're violating this commandment by merely having an image as long as we're not turning the image into an idol. And again, remember, we don't really know what Jesus looked like, right? We have an idea. Now, again, he wasn't white like we're white. He wasn't from Sweden, so he didn't look like that. He didn't have long, brown, flowing hair model hair, okay? He was Middle Eastern, most likely, from that region of somebody that lived in Israel 2,000 years ago. So again, even our depictions of Jesus are artist renderings, what people believe he could have looked like. And so again, there's nothing necessarily, in my opinion, wrong with that, as long as we're not taking that image, and that's what I now worship. And we talked about this. Some churches have statues of different saints and different things, and they actually are, in a sense, praying to those images. I would say that's more of a violation of this than merely having an image or a picture or Jesus depicted in a movie kind of a thing. What's the third commandment? Do not take the Lord's name in vain, right? We said that. Vain means useless, empty, without weight. Without substance. Dave Aldridge, he's not here, okay. Last week or 2 weeks ago in prayer group, after the men's prayer group, he mentioned that, maybe it was last week, yeah. He mentioned that he always has seen the taking the Lord's name in vain, not just in what we say, but how we live as followers of Christ. That if we live in a way that lowers him down or brings down his holiness, that too would be something we should avoid. And so again, a great reminder. It's not just saying the Lord's name is a curse word, which we should not do, but it's more than that. It's anytime I say the name of the Lord, I should with it give weight and substance of the holiness of who God is. And again, if I say the Lord's name in vain, I don't lose my salvation, right? Because I haven't said the Lord's name in vain, I don't keep my salvation. That's settled in Christ. We're talking striving for the moral law of God to please God and honor him, right? What's the, what are we on? The fourth commandment? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Okay, we talked about that. The Sabbath is primarily a commandment that involves a day of what? Rest. It's been made by some as a day of primarily worship. Now, they did worship on the Sabbath, but technically in the Jewish religion, they worshiped every day. They had sacrifices for many days. Again, we see the Sabbath not as Sunday, but what is the Sabbath in according to the Jewish calendar? Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown. It was primarily a commandment of a day of rest to recognize God as the God of all creation and that be a testimony of that to all the pagan nations around Israel. And so while they did worship on that day, it was a little bit different than maybe what we've thought. In the New Testament, meaning one, every day of the week, according to worship. Those are the patterns that we see in the New Testament. They either worshiped every day as the body of Christ, or they worshiped on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Why does the church, the body of Christ, gather on Sunday to worship the first day of the week? Because that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. So we celebrate his resurrection every single Sunday, which is pretty cool to think about. We don't have to wait till Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection. Now we get to on Easter, but we get to do it every single Sunday. We remember that he rose from the dead. And now we find ourselves on the fifth commandment. So Exodus 20 and verse 12. If I can get a volunteer, I'd like to read that for us. That would be great. Exodus 20 and verse 12. Who's got that? Andy, thank you. Thank you. So this is one that, again, pretty simple, right? Over the years of ministry, I've had people say, you know, they'll quote this back to me. I know the Bible says I should honor my mother and father, but, and then usually there's some kind of a difficulty they're having putting that into practice. What's the difficulty? It's not with what God leads us to do. It's because maybe we feel our mother and father is not living in a way that we can honor them. Like, how can I honor them when they're making bad decisions or they're not following Christ and those kind of things? So we're going to talk a little bit about what this looks like and what it looked like to the Jews first, how they would understand this commandment, and then how we can apply it to our lives as Christians today, okay? So first of all, this command forms the transition from the first to the second group of divine declarations, or you could say the first to the second table. It's the connector between the tables of the law. The reason it forms this transition is that in that it simultaneously possesses both religious and social dimensions. This commandment possesses both religious and social. Religious involving God, social involving human interaction, specifically with our parents. It shares with the preceding command the formula, the Lord your God. Also, the relationship of Israel to God is often expressed metaphorically in familial or family type terms. And the same verbs of honoring and revering are used in expressing proper human attitudes to both God and parents. So when the Bible says, honor thy father and mother, in the same way honor is talked about there, it's the same way we revere the Lord, we honor our parents. So there's a connection here, not only how we treat God, but how the Israelites treat one another, specifically their parents. Even Jesus points this out in the New Testament. When the religious leaders try to question Jesus and challenge him, he basically quotes back to them a section that they were not fulfilling, which is honoring their mother and father. And yet they were minimizing that command. Well, we're not worried about that one. We're more focused on this one. This commandment clearly emphasizes the importance of family structure and respect within social and religious life. Living as it should, right? A father and a mother coming together for us in Christ, and they're striving together to be the parents that God calls them to be. Are they perfect parents? How many perfect parents we got in the room? Perfect grandparents? No, I didn't think so. Okay. Because if you're like me, usually you look back, and our oldest is obviously going to graduate this year. I look back, and there are just countless times where I look back and go, yep, blew that one. Should have took better use of that time. And so we can all look back and see that. But when we're striving, not perfect, but striving, right? And we're raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, of course we're going to be coming together as that family unit, right? Loving one another. Again, not in perfection. And by the way, just because you do everything the Lord leads you to do as a Christian parent doesn't mean your children are going to respond the best way they should either. That's because a child makes their own choice. And so what we're saying is, this is laying out that structure of how to develop this proper understanding of God, proper understanding of relationship to God, relationship to each other, and it happens in the family dynamic. The first four, John Durham writes this, the first four commandments set forth the principles guiding Israel's relationship to Yahweh. The last six commandments set forth the principles guiding Israel's relationship with the covenant community, and more broadly, with the human family. As the second, third, and fourth commandments are in many ways extensions of the first commandment, the first four commandments are the foundation for the final six commandments. So again, think of that transition. The first commandment establishes really all of it. 2, 3, and 4 is kind of built on 1, but then really 1 through 4 kind of lays out why 5 through 10 work and how they can be seen or evidenced in our lives. The command to honor parents is rooted in their role. Again, we said this, what if my parents aren't honorable? Well, again, God is speaking to the ideal situation. This is, your parents should be living this way so that you can honor them. So what should the parents be doing in this Israelite culture that they may be honored? Again, the command to honor parents is rooted in their role as passing down the covenant stipulations. By honoring their parents, they are honoring what they have taught them of God's word. So that's the structure in Israelite society. The parents are raising the children up in the law, in the word of God. And so when a child's honoring their parents, they're actually honoring what they've taught them, how they've laid out the word of God before them. Paul encourages the same thing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14 by telling him to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. This is referring to what he was taught by his mother and grandmother of God's word. And we talked about Timothy's testimony on Sunday night, but it's even another reminder that Timothy revered his mother and grandmother because they were laying before him the words of life. And so in Israelite society, as the family is doing this, as the mom and dad are doing this, the children respond by honoring their parents because of what the foundation, or rather because of the foundation, the parents have laid before them. Dishonoring one's parents, to in a Jewish understanding, was tied to violating the covenant. Consequently, the command is accompanied by a promise about living in the land. And look at it again, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now I have to kind of pause here. I always think of a joke that my mom used to always say. Sometimes it was a joke. Sometimes it was a threat. She always would say, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of this world. So if we were goofing around doing something we shouldn't be doing, that we heard that quite a lot growing up. And so here people have said, oh, well, they kind of laugh about that. Well, if you honor them, you live. If you don't honor them, like, you're gone. I don't think that's exactly what the Lord is intending here. Thinking about the covenant relationship and the covenant community. Again, remember, this is for a people living in the land of God, the promised land, as people of God. And so there's a testimony here. There's a relationship here that's connected to that. One commentary writes this: in fact, the obligation to respect the parents is enjoined only for God and parents. And the offender in either instance is liable to the extreme penalty. So there's a consequence here. Well, what's the consequence? Well, it sounds like if you respect and honor your parents, you will live long where? In the land. It doesn't say in this world or have life. It says you'll live in the land. Well, if the parents' job is to pass down the covenant stipulations and pass down the word of God, the children display honor by what? Receiving those instructions, as Solomon says, receive instruction as a good son. So they receive these instructions by honoring the parents. They honor the teaching. They apply the teaching. So they grow. They're growing in their understanding of the Lord. Now they have children. What are they going to do? They're supposed to teach their children. So as long as they're following the covenant of God and conveying these stipulations to the next generation, according to Deuteronomy 28, they're abiding by the law, and what's the response going to be from God? They will be blessed. If you disobey the law of God, according to Deuteronomy 28, there will be cursing. You'll have opposition, persecution, right? Other nations will come in and overthrow you. And so fast forward, we know the rest of the story. Fast forward through generations of families not passing down the law. Think of King Josiah discovering the book of the law in the temple. Just stumbling upon it seems like, having no knowledge of the things that they should have been doing. So obviously, man, they weren't living well in the land. A lot of them were driven out. They were overthrown. They were in opposition, right? Some people came in and took over, and now they're being oppressed by this other people group. And so when God says this, it's not so much do this and I'll do this. It's the natural byproduct. If you do this, honor your parents, which is listening and receiving instruction, the natural result will be blessing. And we can see this today. We understand this today. When we follow God's word in our finances and how we raise our children, how we treat our spouse, again, not saying they're always going to do what they should do, but we know as the one following it, we've done all we can do and we have a peace about it. But we also know what happens when we disregard the word of God as an authority in our lives and we start making our own choices. How well does that go? Think about our finances. How well does that go when we start disregarding God's opinion on finances? And all of a sudden we realize, wow, I'm in a lot of debt. Why? Because I let the world lead my financial decisions and not the Spirit. I wanted the things of the world and I stopped putting my affection on the things above. And now I've ran rampant with the desires of the flesh. I find all these things as possibilities when we disregard the word of God. Same is true for Israel. So really you could say this is a contractual obligation with a promise. Paul actually references, and again, this is why, again, if you've ever wondered what commandments should we strive to follow, not for salvation, but to strive as the moral following of God to please God. If Jesus repeats it, if the apostles repeat it, then it's intended to still be something we need to make sure we're keeping before our eyes. Right? So Paul says this in Ephesians 6:2, and he writes this to the church. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So again, he's not talking to those in the land, the Israelites in the land. So he's extending this to a broader people and a broader application. And I think this is where we understand, again, if we live in this dynamic and we're honoring our parents' world today, there is a parental authority. If I disregard their authority over me in Christ, because before that it says what? Children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So there's again that reminder that parents are in the Lord, instructing of the things of the Lord. I always quote that to my children over the years when they were younger and they would get into a disagreement with me or something and they didn't want to obey. And I would say to them, what does the Bible say? When they would start getting upset about whatever, I don't think I should have to do that. Why do I have to do that? Why can't I go there? Why can't I do this? Why can't I? And I'll say, sometimes you explain it. Sometimes you explain it a little more and less than others. And I said, what does the Bible say about that? Well, I know, no. And my children love when I do this. Being a pastor's kid, I'm sure, is a great joy. I said, what does the Bible say about that? I told Anthony one time, I said, go read Ephesians 6:1 and 2. He's like, what? I said, go read Ephesians and then come back and talk to me. And he came back, he goes, you're always right. I said, no, that's not what it says. He said, well, because you're not always right. I said, I know I'm not always right. That's not what the verse says. It says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What is right? Not your parents are always right, but the obedience to your parents because of your relationship with the Lord, that's what makes it right. And so here, when Paul says that, it's applying the same principle. Man, as we follow this dynamic, we can live well in the world today. As I was reading through, I came across an illustration I thought was kind of helpful. When you buy a house, the bank gives you the terms of the mortgage. If you abide by the terms and pay your mortgage on time every month, you won't have any problem staying there. But if you don't pay your mortgage, you will find yourself out on the street. It's a contractual obligation with a promise. The fifth commandment is similar. God promised the Israelites that they would live in the land for a long time if they honored their parents. If they violated those terms, they were subject to eviction. So it's this idea that God is very upfront. This is what I'm asking of you. This is what's best for you. Let's also remember the law was given for our good, right? This isn't given to us that we can put our heads on and go, man, I just can't get with God. No, he says, this is for your good. This is going to be good for you. It's good not to murder. It's good not to commit adultery. It's good not to steal. Like, these are things that are good for us. And when we violate these things, there are negative consequences that come in many forms. This is true of Israel, and it's true of us today. So what is the promise? So that your days may be long in the land. The promise of extended life is not merely about the individual lifespan, but also about the enduring stability and prosperity of the community. This reflects a covenantal relationship where the obedience to God's commandments result in tangible blessings. Deuteronomy 28. So what is that thing that the Lord is giving you, that you know the Lord is saying, this is what I've given you. This is what is for you. I want you to enjoy this and be a part of this. So again, to the Israelites, what was it? It was the land, right? It was the land. But was the land earned by the Israelites' merit? Did the Israelites just merit the land by working really hard and doing all the right things as they came out of Egypt? If anything, they did multiple things that cost them the land and cost them time in the land and led them through the wilderness. But God decided in his sovereign will to give them the land. Why? That the name of the Lord would be glorified. The name Lord here in verse 12, which the Lord thy God gives you, is actually the word Yahweh. That's how we translate Yahweh into the English in this text. And so what does the name Yahweh represent? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's the covenantal name of God. It's that relationship that they have with God. So again, this commandment is given to a specific people in a specific time with specific promises. But for us, we apply this as followers of Christ to say, Lord, I want to honor those you've put in authority over me. Not just my parents, but any that you've put over me in authority. I want to pray for them and honor them and learn from them. And especially if they're followers of Christ, I want to glean from them the word of God that I might apply it to my life and do that in the lives of others. And so as we walk through these next four commandments after tonight, or five commandments, next few, we will see practical examples of how we can love our neighbors as Jesus laid forth. When Jesus said that loving God with all yourself and loving your neighbor as yourself was the summary of the law and the prophets, he was really saying also it's a summary of the commandments. So how we honor our parents, how we lead our children, all reflects in our love for the Lord in all things. And again, what do you do when you have a parent that's not a follower of Christ? They're not teaching me the things of Christ. I believe we can still pray for them and pray for them, and where we can listen and follow their lead to take that wisdom from them. Of course, if they're not followers of Christ, there may be something that they lead us in or want us to do that conflicts with the word of God, and we need to reject that because our allegiance to Christ is greater than all things. And this is, again, where I've told my children, I hope that they know I would not intentionally lead them in some way that would take them away from the Lord. But I've told my children, if I ever try to encourage you to do something that God's word would say you should not do, you follow God. You follow Christ. This is true of all of our relationships. Of course, we hope that those that we know who are in Christ especially would not lead us into things that would be contrary to the word of God. But we always have to think, okay, I'm answering to Christ first, and then second to this authority over me, how can I then follow that authority in a way that still honors and pleases the Lord? So I think we can honor our parents or even grandparents if they don't know Christ. It's a form of respect and reverence and appreciation for them. You can find some way to respect them and to be thankful for them and to appreciate them in a way that honors them because of who they are. Because they're your parents, they deserve honor. Because they're your grandparents, they deserve honor. And again, does it mean they do everything right? No. You know how I know that? Because you don't do everything right. I don't do everything right. So we give grace, we give forgiveness, we give understanding and compassion, but we also desire to say, Lord, I want to honor you and how I honor those in my life. How I honor that authority reflects on how I honor you in whatever way it looks in our lives. And so I pray this is an encouragement to you, but Jeff, yeah. Yes.
In the life of my parents or grandparents.
Yep.
And petitioning them on areas where we're in conflict.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, as a follower of Christ ourselves, as we continue to honor them, we have influence. We can have a voice in their lives, right? And we can try to give wisdom and even lead them. We pray to Christ if they don't know Christ. I always, as Sandra shared this a couple of Sunday nights ago, her opportunity to share Christ with her grandmother who had ALS. And before she died, she couldn't, for probably about a good year, 8 months to a year. If you've ever known anybody with ALS, it kind of attacks all of this system here where you can't pick your head up, you can't speak. And she lost her ability to speak pretty early. And so at the end of her life, she really couldn't pick her head up. She couldn't really respond to you in any way. And so Sandra, being a young Christian, got the nerve up, as she says it. And if you haven't caught on, Sandra's a little on the shy side when it comes to certain things. But she really loved her grandma. They grew up together, you know. And so she was able to share Christ with her because she had a relationship with her, because she didn't just cast her away when she came to Christ and she did not. So you never know the opportunities you have to have an influence over someone like a mom, dad. Give me that ability to have that conversation that I can share. Absolutely. Well, let's do this, guys. We're going to pray, and then we'll let you be dismissed from here, and we'll go to prayer group. Again, everyone's invited to come to prayer group, and we pray that you would, if you can. Ladies are down the hallway at the north end of the building. Guys, we're down in the office at the south end of the building, and we'll spend some time in prayer together, and then we'll wrap up about 8:15, and then kind of spend some time together. So if you can't join us, you're welcome to hang out in the lobby out here and enjoy some coffee, tea, and those kind of things. But let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for all that we've talked about tonight. And Lord, we thank you for this word before us. And Lord, I pray you give us wisdom. Lord, I've spoken tonight in very general terms. But I know that in every family, there are different dynamics that are at work. And Lord, I just pray that you would deal with each single situation individually and in the unique way that only you can. Lord, I pray that you would be with anyone here tonight, Lord, that is wrestling in this area of walking that balance between wanting to honor and respect their parents, but also seeing their parents make decisions that are not good for themselves or are not good to be around. And so there needs to be some boundaries there. There needs to be wisdom there. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd work in all of that and give wisdom, Lord, that those individuals would seek you. But Father, again, I pray that we would see this connection to our human relationships is a reflection of our relationship to you. That as we seek to honor those in authority over us, it's really a reflection of how we seek to be in submission to you as the ultimate authority. And so as we revere and honor you as first in our lives, that there is no other gods before you, may that reverence, that respect translate into other relationships, and that we would desire to be humble, to submit ourselves to those that are over us in a way that would honor you. And yet still, Lord, we answer to you. And so may we make decisions that are always directed and guided by your word, and that we would not compromise that or question that, no matter who the person is, but that, Lord, we would seek you first. And Lord, give us wisdom again in that, Lord, that we might live in this world, in this life, fruitful, productive lives where you're being able to use us to make a difference for you. And so, Father, again, we just thank you for, again, your word, your Holy Spirit that gives us the understanding we need. And Lord, I pray too for any parents here or grandparents here tonight, Lord, that didn't do everything perfect, didn't always do the right thing, but strove and tried to nurture their children in the Lord and do the things you called them to do. And maybe they have children or grandchildren that are prodigal, that are wandering. Lord, so many parents, especially Christian parents, will begin to say things like, well, what did I do wrong? And what could I have done? But Lord, I pray that we would know that individuals make choices. And that includes our children and our grandchildren. So we pray for them that they would return and respond favorably to the gospel if they don't know Christ. And if they do know Christ, they would respond favorably to your will. And Lord, I pray for comfort for the parents and grandparents that have maybe been walking a road of long nights of prayer, discouragement, frustration. I pray you'd comfort them. And I pray you'd use them in a mighty way to continue to be that lighthouse. Because again, we have no idea what could happen and what will happen as you work through us. So Father, again, may you be glorified in all of this. Give us a great time in prayer and time together tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.